Welcome to B2B, Boots to Books, the show where we explore the journeys of veterans and military-connected students as they navigate their paths from service to the classroom and beyond. I'm Dustin Abrego.
And I'm Rebecca Allen, your hosts. Each week, we'll dive into powerful stories of resilience, determination, and success.
Whether you're a veteran yourself, a military family member, or simply inspired by the strength of those who serve, you're in the right place.
Let's turn the page and start this incredible journey together.
Hello and welcome back to B2B. I'm Dustin Brego.
I'm Rebecca Allen.
And this week we have with us
Bill Krieger.
Bill, thanks for joining us.
It wouldn't be any other place today.
Talk to us about what you do. We obviously know you, but we want everyone listening and watching online to hear what you do and why we invited you in.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm retired from the civilian world and from the military. Mm-hmm. And as I was getting into my retirement, I created Veterans Archives, mm-hmm. which is a nonprofit. We're a 501c3. And we record the histories of veterans. We provide them a copy of it. And then we archive a copy of it. We put them out on a podcast format. We've got a YouTube channel. And the idea is to get the stories of our nation's heroes out there, not just so you can read it, but so you can actually hear it in their voices and in their words. And it's really not about sitting down swapping war stories. We really cover the whole veteran. Some of these interviews take 2 hours. We actually had one that spanned 12 hours. And so whatever that veteran wants to talk about, we talk about.
I can understand why that's really important. Maybe Rebecca can as well. But what was the motivation, the driving factor for you to like start something like that? It's like, this sounds great, but then there's more to it than that, clearly.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff that happened. So back in 2006, I deployed to Iraq and came home in the fall of 2007. And, you know, my memory of coming home was driving to work. I left the battlefield on October 13th, and 2 weeks later, I was coming back to work here in Lansing at Consumers Energy.
Jeez.
And I'm driving from Holt to Lansing. I get to work. It's a beautiful fall day, kind of like today, actually. It's a little bit crisp out. The sun is shining. The birds are singing. I get out of my car. I go to walk towards the building, and I think to myself, man, it's going to be a beautiful day. And the reason I thought it was going to be a beautiful day was not because of all those things I just said. It was because no one shot at me and nothing blew up. And the very next thought I had was, holy crap, I'm crazy because no one thinks this way. Mm-hmm. And so I got into this whole spiral of no one understands me, no one gets me. And, you know, to give you the real short version, about 6 or 8 months later, I'm sitting in my room with a gun in my hand, ready to pull the trigger. And but for a phone call from a good friend of mine, and if they're listening, they know who they are. Someone called me and just said, hey, how are you doing? And in all honesty, the phone rang and it startled me so bad, I almost accidentally shot myself, if that makes sense. And so from there, I got into some therapy for a long time, but I started telling my story and I hooked up with NPR's Moth Radio Hour and started telling my stories to different audiences. And you go in an audience like that with like 400 or 500 people, and it's a very eclectic audience. But at the end of every show, someone would come up and say, hey, I have felt that way before. Not exactly, but I've been kind of where you're at. And thanks for sharing that. It made me feel like I'm not the only person who's ever felt this way. I did some storytelling with USA Today's Storytellers Project. Kind of the same thing there. But you don't have to be military to have these feelings. And that's what I was finding out. But in sharing my story, I was able to kind of unload some of those things. But also, it was helping other people. So I really enjoyed that. It kind of at the same time, working for Consumers Energy, I started their podcast, the Me, You, Us podcast. And that's where we talked about, you know, all things health, the five pillars of well-being and all of those things. And what I found was I had a knack for getting people to tell their stories. And finding out that people sharing their stories were helping other people. I interviewed the CEO of Consumers Energy, and he shared that when he graduated college and got married, he and his wife struggled financially. Now, who would have thought the CEO of a large company like that would struggle financially? But it really spoke volumes to the customers out there and to the people in our work community. And as I started thinking through this, I also thought, you know, how many times have you sat around the table at a holiday and said, you know, Grandpa so-and-so had the best stories, right? My grandfather did. He was from Missouri. He was a bootlegger. Like, this guy had stories. But no one could tell him like he told them. And I thought, wouldn't it be great if I could hear my grandfather tell those stories in his voice and in his words. And so that kind of struck this idea in my head. How can we do this for people? Well, I'm a veteran, and I'm thinking, well, veterans need to have a voice. Not only that, I mean, there's just so many layers there. Veterans can share their stories and offload some of that trauma that they have. Other people can hear those stories and be helped. And here's the other thing, is 100 years from now, these stories are going to still be out there. Someone can hear the story of their great Uncle Bob in Uncle Bob's words and in his voice. I mean, imagine if you could click a button and hear George Washington talk about his time, right? How amazing would that be? Well, there are people that we talk to today that are going to be that George Washington someday, and we're going to have their story recorded. And I also think that there's a layer there that helps when we talk about veteran suicide and 22 a day. We all know that number is probably a little bit bigger than that. When people share their stories, I think it might be helping them, but people hearing those stories might take pause and think about getting some help. So I tried to give you the shortest version possible. That's really how we ended up with Veterans Archives. Yeah. We started in 2022, and we have 126 stories so far. This year alone, we have 64, and we're looking to do 100 by the end of the year.
Shoot. Wow.
So you mentioned that being able to share that story and having others being able to share their stories has helped others. So how would you describe that? Like seeing other people reacting to those stories and knowing that this could either be influencing them to speak up about what they might have experienced or to find other ways to just share their stories and realize that, hey, someone does actually want to listen to my story.
Yeah, you know, a lot of it comes through comments on our YouTube channel. People will watch these, and it's funny because one of the other things we're doing is making connections, right? Somebody will see a story and go, hey, I served with that guy. I remember when that happened. But people listen to those stories, and they, again, they can relate to what's happening. I mean, no one knows exactly how somebody feels about anything because we're the only ones that have ever walked exactly in our shoes. But we can certainly have some empathy and understand how somebody might be feeling about something. And when people tell their stories, sometimes they laugh, sometimes they cry, but the emotion is there. People see and hear that, and they realize it's okay to show emotion. It's not weakness to share what you're going through and to let other people know that maybe you're struggling. And I can see that over and over again in these stories when people share them.
I spent some time watching some of the stories. To me, I'm really enjoying it because I know several of these people that you've interviewed, and to hear them share their stories, for me, it's been eye-opening. Some of them I've worked with professionally, some of them I've known personally, and being able to hear them actually talk about their stories, it does add that extra layer and help me understand why someone like Michael Scott was always so involved in the veteran community and why he was always so happy to step up and help. And being able to see that was, I mean, for me, I very much enjoyed it. So,
yeah. And you know what I hear from families too is I never understood why Dad acted the way he did, but I get it now. Mm-hmm. I see what he's gone through. You know, we just interviewed a 100-year-old World War II veteran last week, and the family had heard a lot of the stories before, but there are stories that they hadn't heard. And it really helps fill in those missing pieces, you know, when Dad was quiet or, you know, I'll share a story with you. When I got home and I was really struggling, I remember sitting at the dining room table and we were playing a game with my kids, my two daughters, and it was the game Trouble, if anyone's familiar with that, right? And so my youngest daughter took great joy in sending my oldest daughter back to the home base every single time she could. And they started bickering like kids will. Mm-hmm. I don't know what happened, but I got tired of it. And I remember picking up the game board and throwing it against the wall and telling my children to shut the hell up. They actually laugh about it now and they tell jokes about it. But at the time, it really scared them and they didn't understand what was going on. But through hearing what I was going through at the time, it doesn't excuse my behavior because there is no excuse for that, but at least gives them some insight into what I was going through and understanding that it wasn't them, that it was me, and that I was the one that needed to get the help. Mm-hmm. And so I hear that from families quite often.
That is really important. I can share from experience as well that we've had similar things happen in our home and having to explain to the kids, you know, it's, well, there's been a recent deployment and you know how Dad was gone for this amount of time. And understanding that it's not that he's mad at you, it's that there are other things that, you know, we poked the bear a little too much. Yeah, and having them understand that helps.
He's not mad at you. He's mad at the world.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's how I was feeling at the time.
Fair enough.
I think your description, especially, I don't know if how many times you've walked through it, of like the birds were singing and all this stuff. And you were like, 2 weeks ago, it was here. And like, I know that there's an outro process, again, civilian never served. And so don't know those things in and out. But thinking about how going from that to the next thing, I'd be like, man, I wouldn't handle a lot of stuff very well. Like anything would probably just set me off just because of just the different worlds. Like, again, you're just back in it and you're supposed to just act as though whatever, because other people don't necessarily know what's going on, like you said. But I think also to the next level of the stories, both for yourself doing this, but then also for the actual veteran, the people that have served, and how it can be cathartic healing, I guess you could say, to that. But also for the families to be like, wow, that makes a lot more sense, or I didn't get that. And it gives them an avenue, because the relationship between like parents and kids will always be parents and kids. But if they see their parent in this different atmosphere explaining this and explaining their previous experience, it's multi-generational healing. If you wanted to like put it to this next level of stuff, you go through, you do the interview with people. How do you know who you're going to interview? And it's going to, I don't want to say it's going to be a good interview, but like some people love to talk. That's what I get paid to do. So like, I love that. Right. And other people, it's like, you have to like really pull them to get them to interact. Do you prep them ahead of time, or is it, you've just been lucky so far, or how does that work for you?
I would say that, this has been, what is it? Forrest Gump said, like a box of chocolates, right? Mm-hmm. You never know what you're going to get,
right?
Ever. I will say of the 126 interviews we've done, there are no bad interviews. Mm-hmm. Some were more, difficult than others. And like you said, there are some people where you have to be able to pull that information out of them, because they're going to answer questions in the shortest way possible. So it really is making sure that you're asking open-ended questions. I don't select who is going to be interviewed. They contact me. We set up a time.
Oh, interesting.
And I go see them. Oh. I don't send out questions ahead of time.
Oh.
I send out a sheet that says, hey, here's what we're going to do. Mm-hmm. We're going to talk. There's two questions I always ask. The first question always is, when and where were you born? Because mm-hmm. I want to get a feel for who they are. The last question I always ask is, 100 years from now, when someone is listening to this story, what do you want them to take away from it? So I give people a heads up, because that's a tough question mm-hmm. sometimes. Mm-hmm. And you get all kinds of interesting answers from that. But yeah, I'm a firm believer in, when I do what I do, if you send out questions ahead of time, people tend to rehearse it.
Yes.
And then you don't get the true story. Also, if I start out with when and where you were born, that conversation can go a million different directions from there, right? And then once we talk about childhood and school, now the conversation can go 100 different directions. And that's what I want from the people that I interview. I'm going to spend 2 hours with you. I want the authentic you. And some people struggle through that. Others are just amazing. But there has not been one bad interview in that whole bunch.
When you are getting people applying to tell their story, is there anything in particular that you are hoping that you can get out of them, at least? So if you're working, say, with a Vietnam era veteran, are you hoping that they're going to open up a little bit more about what they experienced, because coming home from that was vastly different than what our generation has experienced coming back? Or when you're working with a Guard or Reserve veteran, are you hoping that you're going to hear more of what the 1 week and a month side looks like? What are you hoping that you're going to get out of those?
Yeah, I mean, this is a really simplistic answer. I'm hoping I get the real story, mm-hmm. right? I had the benefit of serving on active duty and in the National Guard. And coming home from deployments from those two different worlds is completely different. When you're on active duty military, you have a community to come home to. And while I believe you have a community in the National Guard, when you come home from a deployment in the National Guard, all those people that you deployed with go all their separate ways, and many of them are from different states. So really what I'm hoping to get is what the real story is. A lot of Vietnam veterans will tell you when they came home, they were told not to wear the uniforms, they were called names, they were spit on, but a lot of them weren't. What I've found is that not every generation has the same story within their generation. But the cool thing is there are common threads throughout the generations, which that's what I really hope to see. Like when I talk to a Korean War vet or a World War II vet, their stories aren't the same as a Gulf War veteran, but there are some common threads in there of service. And you see many people who get out of the military continue service after they get out of the military. And so the short answer to your question is really, I hope to get whatever their real story is. And sometimes that takes time.
For those that don't feel like they're veterans, because just because you have served doesn't mean that that's an identity you want to continue to hold. Like you talked about people from Vietnam, maybe there's the cultural aspect of it. People that didn't deploy, weren't in combat zone or guarded reserves, or as Rebecca has indicated, like being female or vet infantry or they're non-infantry. Can they share those stories? Because you said anyone can reach out to you, but if it's, I'm not a person they'll make a movie about, is that still a valid thing in your mind for your platform?
Yeah. So one thing is, we talk about veterans. It's Veterans Archives and so on. I always ask people, did you serve? Right? Mm. Because that person who served, who never went to combat, but worked in logistics, for instance, right? That was my lifeline when I was in combat. Those are the people I called. They made sure that I was able to bring all of my people home, not necessarily in one piece, but everybody came home. Everyone who served, served a purpose so that everyone else could do their job, right? So whether you were a combat veteran and did, you know, five tours, or you served for 2 years and you were stationed in, you know, Fort Knox and you worked on Humvees or whatever it was you did, you served. You signed a blank check up to and including your life. And whether the government took you up on that or not, doesn't matter. You served, and I want to hear your story. I actually interviewed a veteran who had joined the Air Force and just out of basic training suffered a training injury that wrecked his leg, it wrecked his knee. And I actually met him at the Michigan Veterans Home. We got his story. But his story isn't all just about being in the military, although we talked quite a bit about that. It's all the stuff he did afterwards. A lot of people served between the Korean War and the Vietnam War. They saw the draft, and people were being drafted for 2 years at a time. Those people have amazing stories, too. A lot of them will tell me, I don't really have a story. But then you talk to him. I talked to a guy who invented the machine that wraps plastic around bowling pins. Right? You go to a bowling alley, those bowling pins are wrapped in a certain kind of plastic to hold mm-hmm. them together. Mm-hmm. He invented the machine that does that. And then he got bored. So then he opened up a company that took Cadillacs and Corvettes and made them right-hand drive to be shipped overseas because there was a demand for this in Europe. And the car companies weren't doing it. So yeah, there's some really cool stories. And guess what? Wow. A lot of what he learned on how to do a business, he learned in that 2 years he was in the military. And so there's all kinds of stories like that. And then there's the guys who served for, you know, 40 years. The other thing is, and I've really been concentrating on women veterans. You know why? How many times, Rebecca, have you gone to an event or gone somewhere with your spouse and they immediately assume that he's the veteran and you're the little woman back home,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yep.
There's a lot of female veterans out there and they've got great stories. And so we need to capture those stories too. And we need to be careful when we're in public and we just make assumptions based on gender, right? Because the husband may be the person who stayed home. You know, I saw both sides of that. I was the guy who deployed and then my spouse deployed after that. So I got to see what it was like to be back home. But 9 times out of 10, when we go to a function, people automatically assume that I'm the only veteran and that my wife just stayed home and took care of the kids, which, by the way, is a huge job. I'm going to tell you right now. I was at home with 3 kids, and it was difficult. But, yeah, so, I mean, that's really kind of the whole answer, I think.
Being that female veteran who has been told, no, it's for veterans only, and then having the satisfaction of pulling out my active duty ID and being the person that has stayed home and being the person who it is automatically assumed, even within the last month, being out at a veteran function and I'm the reason we're there because I'm the one that has been working in the veteran service field, but just automatically assumed that, female, not vet. I do appreciate that you are putting that focus on female veterans because it is an underserved population. So
absolutely.
I appreciate that.
Absolutely.
What do you think overall that you would want for someone listening to this and maybe he's like, I don't know if my stories are enough, or I know you've kind of hit on this, but I really think there's probably an unlimited fire hose of people with stories and they self-select themselves out. Just like that we see every day, they self-select themselves out of, I guess I qualify for that, but like, that's not me. not because we're looking for pity, because I don't think you've explained pity at all in any of this, right? It's been like, what was it like for you? We want to be aware of those things, whether or not other people served, because you both have served, but then hearing the other stories, it's still completely different in those experiences. What would you say to someone that's like, I'm not sure, or someone that would pass this on to someone else saying, maybe you should actually do this? What would you say to them?
Yeah, it's great, because I just went through this. We did Radio on the River out in Brighton a couple weekends ago, and someone came up to our booth. I was talking with him, and like, well, I don't really have a story. I know all these other guys
Wrong.
Do. I'll pay. Yeah, it's exactly, that's the exact answer is every single person has a story, right? And it's usually that person who says, I don't have a story, has this story that they didn't realize was a story because they lived it, right? You live your life. You don't realize how amazing your life is because you're living it. And so that's what I try to bring out of people. But there is that, you have to walk that fine line, because there are some people who just don't want to do it. They don't want to share, yep. right? Mm-hmm. So we don't twist arms. But if you're sitting on the fence and you're like, I don't have a story, yes, you do. Mm-hmm. And we would love to share it with people. And I'll bet there's other people out there who would listen to that and go, oh my God, it's an amazing story, right? Even though you don't think it is. You know, I can think of a ton of people who we started out the conversation with, I don't have a story. And by the time we ended up finishing the whole thing, I was just in awe of the story that they had, because it wasn't necessarily about their military service. It was about them as a person and the things that they had done and they had accomplished. And that's what they're going to pass down to their family, is all of those stories. And they're incredible.
If I had to guess, out of all the ones that you've done so far, after the fact, mic's off, you're just talking or being like, this is what the process looks like afterwards, has anyone said, I shouldn't have done that?
No. No one has ever said that.
Maybe they're all hot and bothered afterwards, but then they can calm down, because there's a lot of emotional stuff, a lot of really intense things that have happened, and they can be like, they can be upset about it, which is totally fair and valid, but were they, I shouldn't have done this?
No. I'll give you two examples of where we did some editing at the mm-hmm. request. When I say we edit these videos, mm-hmm. I don't edit anything for content, because mm-hmm. their story is their story. Mm-hmm. I really edit like if they sneezed or they had to go to the bathroom or something like that. That gets cut out.
Yeah.
But I did have one person call me and say, hey, you know that thing I shared with you? My spouse doesn't even know that. And I'd really hate for them to find out about it through a recording, you know, and it wasn't a huge part of their story,
sure.
but it was a part of it. I said, yep, I got it. So they had a little bit of buyer's remorse just on one section of their story. Same thing. I interviewed a World War II veteran, and he tells this story, which I won't tell on the air mm-hmm. because I don't know who's listening, but it was something you probably wouldn't want your grandkids to hear.
Sure.
And so the family called afterwards and said, hey, can we just take that out of the public airing of this story?
Sure. Mm-hmm.
But honestly, I've never had someone go, God, I wish I hadn't done that.
Yeah.
Not one person. Most of the time, they're super happy they did it. And then the conversation after the conversation, you hear these other stories. You're like, oh, I wish we'd have gotten those, right? But we could spend a whole day doing that.
Right. So people have their, it doesn't go live immediately, right? So anyone that's like, I'm not sure if I say something bad, and it's like, for one, it's not live, right? Then two, you allow people to be like, hey, could you actually this? You're not saying no to that is what I'm hearing.
Yeah. So the number one goal that we have is to get the stories to the veterans.
Mm-hmm.
So every veteran gets their story on a memory card in a nice little box with our logo on it. They get one of our challenge coins. That's theirs to keep. They
wow.
do whatever they want with it. Now, these do go live pretty quickly.
Sure.
The flash to bang's pretty fast on these. But if someone calls and says, hey, we'd prefer that didn't go mm-hmm. public, it's very easy to just pull it down. I'll share a quick story. Someone that I interviewed, someone heard his story, and it was someone from his past who he had dated. And this person was apparently obsessed with this guy. And they were contacting me to get this person's phone number mm-hmm. and all this, leaving comments. So the guy called me, because he gets my newsletter every month. He's a really good guy. He called me and goes, hey, dude, can you just take that down, because I'm married and I don't need this. I was like, absolutely. I mean, you have your story. We have it archived. We'll just take
sure.
it out of the live feed.
Sure.
And we did that. The other thing that we do too, and this is kind of off topic mm-hmm. of your question, but we're partnered with Reads Across America Radio. And so every Thursday at 5:00, you can hear the stories there.
Mm.
And Coming Home Well Radio as well. We are connected with them. So our stories don't just go out on our channels. They go out all over the place. So when someone has that request, we honor it. We take it down everywhere. Sure. But I've only had one person ask me to do that.
Yeah, that's awesome. Where can people find out more about Veterans Archives? Where do they go if they just want to listen, or if they are like, hey, I have a story, or I know someone that has a story?
Oh, yeah. So I always direct people to the website because everything is linked from there. So veteransarchives.org, it's veterans with an S, archives with an S, .org is where you can go. There's an application right online. You fill that out. It gets emailed right to me, and then I call you, and we set that up. We are on YouTube at Veterans Archives. We're on TikTok, Facebook, Instagram, X, all the platforms, whether they're popular now or not. We're out there. We post twice a day. You can see really nice little snippets of the stories that we do. But really, if you go to our website, you can listen to them right on the website. We have a player embedded there, but you can also link to our podcast. If you want to hear the podcast, it's Veterans Archives, and it's anywhere you get your podcast. Any platform out there that you are listening to podcasts on, you can find us out there. So all the stories are there as well. And then I can throw my phone number out there if that's all right.
That's a you question, sure.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I have a work phone, so okay. I can turn it off. That number is 248-289-3180, 248-289-3180. If you're not tech savvy and you don't want to go to the website, just give me a call. We'll get you set up. But the website's the great place. You can see all the things that we do. You can kind of see a little bit about our history as well. And you can see the pictures from our recent golf outing. So a lot of fun out there.
Awesome. Cool.
And you're looking for 36 more stories this year, is that correct?
Yes, we are.
So if we have any veterans that are interested, that want to share their stories, they should for sure reach out to you.
Yes, they should. Time is running short, so we need to get those folks in. So please call, send a carrier pigeon, however you want to do it. We'll respond.
Awesome. Well, thanks so much, Bill. This has been great. We really appreciate you stopping by. All right.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
You've been listening to B2B, Boots to Books.
Thank you for joining us on this journey through the inspiring stories of veterans and military-connected students.
If you've enjoyed this episode, please subscribe, leave a review, and share it with your community.
We'd love to hear from you, so connect with us on social media or take a listen to previous episodes at lccconnect.com or your favorite streaming platform.
Remember, every story is a step forward.
And together, we can build a bridge from boots to books.
Until next time, stay strong.
And keep moving forward.
Featuring the faculty, staff, students, and others that helped to make Lansing's premier college what it is today. LCC Connect, Mid-Michigan's connection to Lansing Community College. To find out more about our featured programs or to listen on demand, visit us at lccconnect.org.
LCC Connect. Voices. Vibes. Vision.
Lansing Community College Performing Arts presents the Happen Dance Professional Company performing live with the LCC Jazz Band. This special concert features the 20-plus member jazz band playing classic big band standards while dancers perform original choreography set to the live music. Now in its third year, the concert takes place February 20th and 21st at 7 p.m. in the Dart Auditorium. Admission is free. For more information, visit lcc.edu/showinfo.
I'm Stephen Cutter, and I host a show called Coach Cut's Corner here on LCC Connect. Coach Cut's Corner is about Lansing Stars baseball program, mental performance, and just getting better in everyday life. You can always find more about LCC Connect shows and listen on demand at lccconnect.org.
It doesn't matter if you're 22 or 62, whether you're trying to figure out how to pay off a student loan or how you're going to pay for retirement. Maybe you're a parent trying to provide for your family, struggling to pay the bills on time. The tough economy is affecting all of us, and it can be overwhelming. There's no need to fight the battle alone. The National Foundation for Credit Counseling wants you to know there is help available for whatever kind of debt problem you're facing. The NFCC is a nonprofit organization with more than 50 years of experience. Certified counselors in your area can help you take the first step in getting a grip on your finances. And they can help create a personalized plan and show you how to make educated decisions about your financial future. You are not alone. Let the NFCC help get you started. Call them at 800-388-2227 or visit debtadvice.org. That's 800-388-2227 or visit debtadvice.org. This has been a public service from the NFCC.
The LCC Arts and Sciences Division will welcome 7th and 8th graders to the downtown campus for the first ever Big STEAM event on Saturday, February 21st. The event is an opportunity for middle and high school students to explore STEAM programs and career fields with exciting hands-on activities and experiences. Those interested in the Big STEAM event on February 21st can learn more at lcc.edu/bigsteam.
LCC.
Connect.
Voices.
Vibes.
Vision.
Crawl out from under your bridges because it's time for Trolling the Mitten. Your favorite local comedy podcast where we bring you the best and brightest from the Great Lakes State. I'm your host, Errol Gribble, a Michigan Reconnect student here at Lansing Community College in the Digital Media, Audio, and Cinema program, where, just like in nature, stars are forged through exposure to pressure and a lot of hot air. Many greetings from Michigan. I am your host, Errol Gribble. Today's episode, I have another incredibly talented, wonderful professional actress on the show, Katie Kujala. She's a member of Actors Equity Association. If you see shows at the Meadowbrook Theater, I guarantee you have seen her. She's been in Christmas Carol for a long time. And if you could see Katie in person, you would know. She plays a Disney princess for Princess Party. This woman is a walking Disney princess. Blonde, beautiful, sweet. If you squint close enough, you can see birds flying around her head. So sweet, so kind, so funny. This episode, her and I came up with the character. I mean, she came up with the name. Her name is Ms. Sue St. Marie, and she is an antique dealer from Frankenmuth, not from Sue St. Marie. So sit back, relax, grab your tchotchkes, and enjoy my Frankenmuth antique episode with Ms. Sue St. Marie. Hey, everybody, welcome back. We are here today, just outside of Frankenmuth, Michigan. Beautiful, historic, wonderful tourist trap for Michiganders and folks around the world. We're actually in one of the iconic Frankenmuth antique malls. Is it a store, a mall?
It's a store.
Okay, antique store.
Yeah.
Here in Frankenmuth with a lifelong antiquer, could I say?
Oh, I would say so.
Well, go ahead and introduce yourself for the folks at home.
Oh, well, isn't that lovely? Yes. My name is Sue St. Marie.
Oh, like the city.
Yes, like the city, but I've only been there once. One time.
Okay.
The Sue St. Marie Lock
Tour. How did you get the name then?
Oh, well, you know, my dad always liked that actress, Eva St. Marie, the Hitchcock actress, but he gets confused.
Oh, I see.
Mixed up backwards.
Oh, okay. So it's not like Sue is a family name.
Not really. Sweet Sue the chicken.
Oh.
And Eva St. Marie.
And so Sweet Sue is your father's chicken. Favorite chicken?
The canned chicken, yes.
Oh, okay.
Yes. So Sue St. Marie. Unfortunate, but it's been quite a conversation starter for me.
Sure, absolutely. In fact, you know, the place, it's Sue St. Marie's Antiques.
Yes.
I assumed that poorly, apparently, and wrongly, that you had just spelled Sue St. Marie wrong.
Oh.
And that they were Sault Ste. Marie antiques, but that's not true. They're your antiques.
Oh, bless your heart. I get that a lot.
I'm sure. My apologies.
Don't worry about it. That's how I get people in the door sometimes.
Oh, okay.
They're very curious. They think, are we in Frankenmuth or are we in Sault Ste. Marie? And I say,
sure.
Well, both.
That's right.
Yes, yes.
Does anybody ever come in telling you, like, hey, you spelled it wrong, like, on your sign? Because you spell it S-U-E. You know?
Yeah, yes.
Whereas, you know.
And actually, the French spelling is S-T-E.
Oh, Saint.
Saint.
Oh,
right.
Yes. And Sue is S-A-U-L-T. Right,
yes,
salt.
Yes, salt.
Salt? I don't know.
Yes. No, I get that sometimes, but most of the time people are just joshing with me, you know.
I might do a little joshing today.
Oh,
if I do, I apologize.
Well, you know, that's fine. That's fine.
So, Ms. Marie? Ms. St. Marie?
Yes, Ms. St. Marie.
Ms. St. Marie.
Ms. St. Marie.
Tell us, how'd you get into world of antiquing?
Oh, my goodness. Well, it started a very, very long time ago. I started by collecting the little toys from Happy Meals.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
I can't remember. Like, how long ago did the Happy Meal toys start? Like, maybe the 70s?
The 70s. Yes, 70s, 80s.
Okay.
Yes.
So we're talking early Happy Meal.
Early Happy Meal toys.
Okay.
Oh, yes.
So
yes,
what are some of your favorite Happy Meal toys?
Oh, boy. The Fry Guys.
Oh, sure.
I like the Chicken McNuggets.
Oh, those the like great. Little Transformer Chicken
yes,
McNuggets.
Yes, my favorite ones actually came out in the 80s, and they were plastic.
Oh, of course.
Yes.
Yes. Oh, my gosh, I see. Oh, yeah, we have a whole area here full of Happy Meal toys.
Oh, yes, watch the door. Mind your head. Mind your head.
Yeah, that
yes,
is a
yes,
real
yes.
creaky door.
It is, and we have some rather large spiders around here, too. No matter how much I dust, they just keep coming.
Oh, I guess it's drawn to the old antiques? Or
oh, well, you know, it's... As my husband says, he always says, as soon as I went on the World Wide Web, the spiders came in.
That's...
Because now you can find me online. If you actually get on the Google.
Wow. Oh, sure.
Get on the Google.
On the Google.
Yes. Sue St. Marie Antiques. Yes. And click on the one in Frankenmuth. There is a rival now.
Oh.
A rival.
A rival Sue St. Marie.
There is a rival Sue St. Marie.
Spelled the same
no,
way.
No, but it's Susan St. Marie. They think they're being clever.
Oh.
We know about them.
Uh-oh. Is this like a feud going on here in Frankenmuth?
Well, I'm trying not to make it a feud. We're quite pleasant here in Frankenmuth.
Yeah, you seem to be a very pleasant
There's
lady.
Room for all of us, but, you know, she's been calling herself Sue St. Marie when it's obviously Susan St. Marie in Sue St. Marie.
Is her name actually Susan St. Marie?
I don't think it is.
Oh, so you think she just stole your whole gimmick?
Well, I think she might be stealing my whole gimmick, yes, because she claims to have more Precious Moment dolls.
Oh, I do know that there's a lot of Precious Moments dolls.
Don't you know I have quite a few?
I have to admit, you haven't shown me the whole story yet, but just like sort of looking here at the front room, I mean, we've got the Happy Meal toys. Mm-hmm. But, like, everything else just kind of seems to be, like, little Precious Moments figurines.
Well, we do have more, but we have to keep them in the storage in the back.
Oh, different kinds of antiques? Or?
Different kinds of antiques. It's been mostly dolls. Like, the Precious Moments, I do have some Jim Shore, which is very big here in Frankenmuth.
Jim Shore. For those of us who are not antiquers, what?
He does wood carvings, and he's based somewhere in the Midwest, I believe, but you can catch him on the QVC.
Oh, sure.
The QVC, yes.
Have you ever been on that yourself?
Don't I wish.
Oh, well, if we got anybody from QVC listening to the show.
Oh, please, call Sue St. Marie.
I'm telling you, folks,
from Frankenmuth.
She'd be great.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
I do appreciate that very, very much. I have so many Precious Moment dolls, over 6,000.
6,000?
6,000.
Are these all things that you have collected yourself?
Oh, yes. I have amassed all of these on my own, either through garage sailing, the eBay.
Oh, sure.
Yes. Sometimes I find things on the side of the road. You wouldn't believe what the things people throw out, Harold.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable. I found, you know, one of my favorite ones was my First Communion Praying Hands one.
Oh, a First Communion
Praying Hands Precious
Moment.
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Yes, just right on the side of the road.
How? Why would anyone throw that out?
Well, it was 3 feet tall. It was a big one. I think it was made to the child
size. I didn't know they made Precious Moments that were human size.
Oh, they do.
Wild.
Just like Barbies.
Do you have any of those here?
Yes, they are towards the back. We keep them towards the back because they scare people. We've gotten calls about child abductions in our store when we put them towards the front.
Oh, sure.
Then very, very nervous.
That makes sense.
I know. It's terrifying. Have you ever been called in for questioning?
I have, like, by the cops?
Yes.
No.
It's a terrifying experience.
I can only imagine.
Yes, indeed.
They were questioning you about possible kidnapping.
Yes.
Wow.
Late at night.
Folks, just for the record, as far as I know, Miss St. Marie is not a kidnapper.
No kidnapper. Just life-size precious moment dolls. Okay. And usually the precious moment dolls that are larger, they are not made of porcelain. They're made out of plastic.
Oh, yeah. Man, this is a creaky floor you got going through this whole place.
It's very creaky. I'm very sorry this building was built in the 1870s.
Oh, wow.
Yes, probably with the original settlers of Frankenmuth, which, by the way, is two different German words, Franken and Muth. I know Muth means courage. I'm not really sure about Franken.
Is that like hot dogs? Glizzy, as the kids call them?
Glizzy?
Yeah. Anyway. Oh, here we go.
Oh, look, these are
the life-size. Wow. I can see why someone might consider that a child. It's got quite the child silhouette.
It was a bad judgment call on my part. I shouldn't have put them towards the front. I thought they would draw people
in. No, I think you should. I mean, you don't see things like this very often. This is...
Well, thank you.
Wow. Okay, I don't know how I feel about this one. Mm. So, folks, for our listeners at home, this... I'm looking at what? Like 3.5-4 foot tall?
Oh, yes.
It's plastic. It's adorable little Precious Moments face, but this is the soldier Precious Moment?
This is the soldier
I think
Precious
that,
moment.
Yeah. Is this one of the ones you kept up front?
Oh, most definitely.
Yeah, that gun is like life size.
Yes.
That like, what is that, an automatic weapon?
I believe it is. I believe it is. I'm not really quite versed on them, but it looks authentic, doesn't it? But I mean,
it does.
On Veterans Day, he was a hit.
Oh,
and I love to put him out front, but not anymore.
No, yeah.
He goes to the back. And I get inquiries every now and then about our little soldier here, but you know.
Like where did the guy with the gun go?
That's exactly.
Do your inquiries.
Where's the child with the gun? Actually, is what it is. Where's the child with the gun?
This takes me back to your interview with the police officers.
Oh my goodness! You haven't lived until you've experienced a Frankenmuth cop on horseback.
Okay, so show me some of your favorite.
Oh my goodness! Well, okay, let's be careful.
But really tight space.
I'm not a little person.
I am sorry. That was like a clown. Folks have just killed a clown.
It's called Pierrot.
Pierrot?
Pierrot.
Or it was.
I believe it's French. It's French for some type of clown.
I'm so sorry about that. Was that expensive? We could compensate.
Well, it was.
It was. I know that some precious moments are... like collectors, some of them
they
can be
are.
Like thousands of dollars.
Oh, absolutely.
This wasn't one of those, was it?
It's hard to say. I'm going to have to price check on the Google later.
Oh, okay. Because also, that's the other thing about precious moments, if I'm not mistaken. They are, a lot of them are not expensive.
No, they're not. And that's why I find a lot in garage sales or, you know, curb when I do curbside shopping.
Thrown out. Dumpster diving.
Yes, yeah. But I tell you, if you see on the shelf over here, hold on, let me dust it off a little bit. Ooh.
Oh, that's a lot.
Oh, gesundheit.
Wow.
We say here.
There's a lot of dust.
Sorry. Sometimes I get a little bit lax in that department. But anyways.
It's good. It's part of the charm of an antique store.
Oh, thank you so much. Well, now up here you can see that we have our precious moments. And this is what people like to collect from 0 to the age of 16.
Oh, wait, like the kids?
Yes.
What's a 0-year-old precious moment kid look like?
Well, you can see it basically looks like a little bean up there.
Oh, yeah.
It's like a little bean.
Porcelain bean.
It's a little newborn, you know. Like,
yeah, then there's
congratulations,
one.
Congratulations, you're here. You know, you don't do anything, but you just lay there, but we're going to give you a
your own little doll.
Yes.
There is one right before it. It's like a pregnant belly.
There is.
It's like a little tiny, it's almost see-through.
Wow.
Yes. It's just the belly, which is weird, and then than the baby inside.
It's a little strange, just the belly, but people love them. And then we just go through the ages, you know, one, two, you see the terrible two, someone's throwing something down on the floor crying.
Okay,
you know,
yeah.
That's how you know it's two.
Yeah.
And then you go all the way up to 16.
Oh, okay.
Don't ask me why they stop at 16, but they just do.
Oh, wow. Yes. And look, they looks like they're flipping burgers at McDonald's.
Well, yes,
I don't know if it's
true.
Specifically McDonald's, but yeah, it's like a burger flipping.
I do
baby.
Believe, you know, I got this one in Frankenmuth, this one for 16, and I don't
okay.
know if it's a burger or if they're flipping chicken.
Oh, yeah, you're right. It is kind of hard to see. That ceramic
you
is
know,
really small.
It's very small. And also, you know, there are many precious moments that have come from here in Frankenmuth.
Oh, yeah?
There's such a huge store here where you can find so many. In fact, if they sold Precious Moment dolls, they would probably be my biggest competitor.
Oh, but they don't sell the Precious Moment
no,
dolls.
No, you just come to see them.
Oh, it's a Precious Moments
display.
Now, you are a store, right?
I am a store.
People can buy.
Singery's Antiques, yes.
Now, are there any antiques that you won't part with that you love too much? Or is there a Precious Moments doll that...
Ooh...
Is too close to your heart.
You know, I never want to part with this soldier one. I love him so much.
The 3.5 foot tall.
Oh yes.
Plastic soldier.
You know, he just is so unique.
He's
a unique one.
Sure,
I also.
It's terrifying because he's got this look on his face. That's
yes.
the like patented Precious Moments, innocent, doe-eyed looking kid. But
it's
he's
true.
Holding, a weapon of mass destruction. So.
Well, mass destruction, Nerf gun. It's hard to say.
Sure,
you
don't
know.
We don't know. It's just made out of plastic.
Yeah,
so.
It's just made out of plastic. But I do have another Precious Moment.
Okay.
Circa 1986, and for those of you that are big fans of Jim Henson, you might know Jareth from A Labyrinth.
Yes. Yes.
He's dressed in a costume. He looks just like Jareth.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh,
now,
yes.
Is that, did you find that like that? Or did
oh,
that...
I did. I didn't make
wow.
that.
Wow. Now, that, but
it.
That is a thing, right? Like people
you can make
will...
costumes for the Precious Moment. The tall ones. The little ones, no.
Oh, no.
No.
But little
no.
ones, there are some artists. What's that online where you can like make your own art and sell it?
Build-A-Bear?
Nope.
No.
That's all right.
All right. I've heard of that.
But people make like...
Etsy?
There it is. Yeah.
Oh, Etsy. Yes.
So they're making
yes.
their own Precious Moments. So they're taking Precious Moments and like altering them. There's a
yes.
whole like scary Precious Moments.
Oh, my.
I don't. Yeah, oh, yeah. They like paint over it. Some of them will put like, you know, clay or whatever to, and like add ceramics and like heat it and
my.
Stuff. They make like witches and zombies and things like that.
Oh, I had no idea such a thing existed.
Oh.
Maybe like, that could be useful.
Hey, you should try it on the Google.
For Halloween. On the Google,
yeah.
yes.
Now, I do know Precious Moments does have, like, you can buy them, what, by occasion? Right, so you do you have any Halloween Precious Moments?
Oh, I do, but nothing too scary. It's mostly,
no.
I have like little pumpkins.
Uh-huh,
where they're just adorable little pumpkins.
Oh, here they are. Oh,
yes, you see
yeah.
them. Oh, thank you.
Okay,
yes.
these are all the Halloween ones.
Oh, yes. So we have
oh,
all the
it's like
the
a
Halloween.
Wall of Halloween,
oh,
folks.
My goodness. Yes, can you see them?
Yes, a lot of adorable black cats.
Yeah, now speaking of spiders, look at this little spider baby. Isn't it cute?
Oh, yeah. Oh.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And mm-hmm. Folks, just you know, over 2-3 feet is an actual spider.
Oh.
Let's,
oh.
so,
oh, I really need to dust.
Yeah,
I
that's
really
okay.
Need to, all right.
We're
all
gonna
right.
keep walking.
We'll keep going.
Oh,
we'll
look,
going.
And then you've got all the other occasions.
Oh, Halloween, Valentine's Day
yeah.
St. Patrick's Day,
uh-huh.
Easter.
Yeah, right there.
We have Passover. We have 4th of July.
I don't see. Now I know it's Frankenmuth. It's big Christmas. Bronner's, of course.
Yes.
I don't see the. Oh, it's around the corner. Oh,
that's,
my gosh, folks. There is an entire room of Christmas figurines. Are these all Precious Moments?
Oh, yes. You cannot live
oh
in
gosh.
Frankenmuth without having your own Christmas Precious Moments section.
Now, what's that like? Do you get sick of Christmas?
You know, I don't think I could ever say that I get sick of Christmas.
Oh, I guess you live in the perfect place then,
oh,
huh?
It's just magical. It's magical all year round. I mean, it brings people hope. People come to buy things, which is great for our city,
of course,
my store.
Great for the state.
I do get a little sick of the red and green. You know, sometimes you just want a little bit more variety.
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
more
other than
the two colors. Okay.
Yeah, it gets a little. But I love sparkles. That's my favorite color.
Oh.
So
sparkle is your favorite color.
Oh, yes.
Oh. That's a great color.
Thank you. So it's great to be here.
So, it's a beautiful story I have.
Thank you.
There's a lot. I am blown away. Why precious moments? Why like figurines?
You know, it makes me think about how dear life is to us. And I thought, you know, that it really is about precious moments in life.
Oh,
and these
I
just
see.
Mark so many special occasions for people.
Yeah.
It might just be a little second, little minuscule second, and you know, it's magical to you, and you just want to commemorate that.
Yeah, a kid eating an ice cream cone
kid
right there.
Kid eating an ice cream cone. Kid, you know, first boo-boo. Right
oh,
there.
First boo-boo. Look
Fall
how
down
cute
and
that is.
I know. Isn't he adorable? It's just first haircut, you know.
Oh, first haircut.
You know, dad loses his hair, gets his first toupee. I mean, there's a moment for everything.
And you want to capture it in ceramic.
I do. I want to capture it in ceramic. I want it to be available for the people to enjoy and
so
purchase.
So you have, what, 6,000?
6,149.
Wow, she's got a tally in her head, folks.
Oh, yes, I do.
So would you suggest anybody who's like looking for a gift for that special precious moment for that occasion?
Oh, of course, of course. I'm so happy you asked this question because it is so important when you are, oh, yes, you're so astute. When you ask about this, you're going to say, okay, what does this person, what is a moment in their life that they want to capture? What is something they want to remember forever? Is it a past memory? Is it an upcoming memory? Perhaps they're getting married. We have our wedding figurine precious moments.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh,
look, it's behind, it's right next to the,
yes.
Folks, a whole other room for just weddings.
Just weddings, right over
gosh.
Here. Now, I will tell you the one that is not very popular, and you can see why, but it's our bereavement precious memories.
Oh, yeah. It's sort of in the corner. I thought this was all weddings,
yes.
But it's not. That,
no.
This corner
no,
here.
No, the pastor kind of goes between.
Yeah.
You know,
sure.
Both.
Sure. So we've got the little things, baby yes. priest, pastor,
yes.
pastor.
Yes. Yes.
Our precious moments, Lutheran.
Mostly, yes.
Okay.
Oh, mostly, yes. Frankenmuth, yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that makes sense to me.
Yes.
Okay. Oh, gosh, yeah, I guess that is a little macabre. There's like a little precious moments funeral.
It is, but now that you've told me about the site that they dress them up for Halloween, maybe our coffin precious moments. Our person in the coffin, maybe that will take off.
Yeah.
You've given me a good idea.
It is weird that they're like popping out of the coffin. Like, that's...
It's
like a cute
it's
face.
It's optimism.
But, oh, I see.
You know, it's
right.
Resurrection optimism. It's good.
And so is that kind of what this, like, you're embracing those precious moments.
Yes.
You're distilling them down to
oh,
their
absolutely.
Most precious. It doesn't feel a little like saccharine to you?
Oh, no, 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 no. People like reminders, you know.
Okay.
They like reminders. So to see, I don't know, the first day you were potty trained, for example, maybe that means something to you.
Yeah.
You need to see that to know that, hey, you've accomplished something
you did
in
that.
Your life and you can do it in the future.
That's right.
Maybe that's what
that's
it
right.
is.
That's right. Just put it like right outside the bathroom.
Absolutely.
A
it's,
reminder.
It's like a live, laugh, love
yeah.
plaque. But in a ceramic or 3 foot tall doll.
Yeah, it kind of is. Very much like a live, laugh, love plaque.
It really is.
Or like, you know.
I was thinking about making some of those.
Home is where the heart is.
Home is where the heart is.
Yeah, I do see you have a couple of those signs up.
Oh, do we ever. Bestseller.
So tell me more about you. I know you mentioned a husband.
Oh, yes.
Are you still, you two still together? Is he a part of the business?
Well, you know, with 6,149 precious moment figurines, I have other things as well in this
right.
store. It gets a bit overwhelming to Frank.
Yeah, it is accosting the senses, absolutely.
Yes.
It's a lot of cuteness.
Yes, it's a lot of cuteness.
Do you have a lot of friends here in Frankenmuth?
My dolls are my friends.
Yeah.
For the most part. I mean, this job is, it's my life, so I...
Uh-huh. Would you say that your precious moments are a steal of a deal here, or...
Well,
or do you carry more of the like high end?
I all sorts of precious moments. So we have some of the rare ones, which are going to go for a lot. I can't mince words. And then we have some that are more common that might be a bit cheaper. But Errol, I just have to reason with you and break it down. To break it down and be honest. Sault Ste. Marie has quite a large heart. So
the city or oh you
me,
gotcha.
I don't know about the city. They have lots.
I'm sure they have a huge heart.
Maybe they do. I don't know. Any Susan Saint Marie does not, but this Sault Ste. Marie does. All right, Sault Ste. Marie has a large heart. So if I hear someone say how much this precious moment doll that they want to purchase means to them, then I can be haggled.
Oh,
you can talk
okay.
down the price. I want them to be happy.
Now, is that a thing for listeners out there? Maybe you're new to antiquing. Do most antique shops haggle? The prices are negotiable?
I don't have many friends, so I don't know.
Okay, but here at yours, it is.
At my store, what I say goes, and I say, you know what, life's short. If you want the doll and you give me somewhat of a reasonable price where I can go home and get my rotisserie chicken and some green beans for Frank and myself, we're good.
Oh, it sounds
it's a
like,
simple life.
It sounds like somebody's at the door.
Oh, it's not the police, is it?
I don't think so.
Oh, my goodness.
It's Susan St. Marie. Let me in.
Is that Susan St. Marie? This is your... She's really banging on the door.
She's really banging on the door, yes.
Should we let her in, or...
You might as well.
Okay, here we go.
Might as well let her in.
Where are you, Sault Ste. Marie? Who's this guy you got here?
Excuse me, ma'am. Hi. My name's Errol Gribble. I'm a host of Troll in the Mitten. You must be Susan St. Marie?
Oh, you take it on that. That's the name of my store. That's not my actual name.
Oh.
It's... Wait a minute. That's not your name?
I just get to make fun of you, you grimy mouth.
Oh,
Susan, that's quite an accent. Are you a Michigander?
You wouldn't be going. I'm from across the pond.
You mean England?
Yeah. You know where I'm from, you blimey bit.
Oh,
you better watch it. I'm gonna.
Oh, stop! She's, ma'am, please put that down.
Ma'am,
you better get out of here.
Get out of here.
Okay, ma'am, go get out the door. Out.
Leave.
Oh my gosh, I am so sorry.
Oh my.
Whoa.
Goodness.
Here, let me help. We can clean this up.
Thank you. Thank you. I'll get the Swiffer.
Oh my gosh, she just went bananas. Thank God it was just in the Happy Meal area, so it's all made out of plastic, but.
I just can't. She came all the way to Frankenmuth just to harass us?
Yeah. Well.
And break our Happy Meal toys.
Wow, yeah, she came all the way down to Frankenmuth.
Yeah. She's trolling me.
That's, you know what, folks? Maybe we could find a time to go up there and troll Susan St. Marie from Sault Ste. Marie.
I think that would be due diligence on our part.
But
I can't believe she just came in here and just knocked things over.
I know. I'm so sorry. We'll help clean it up. We should wrap this up.
Oh, thank you, yes.
Sault Ste. Marie, you've been a delight.
Oh, thank you.
For any new folks out there who might want to, get into antiquing or maybe want to start their own business or, what's some, parting words of advice for our listeners?
Oh, thank you, Errol. I'm so glad you asked that question. Lots and lots of hand sanitizer. You never know where it might have been.
Okay.
So you want to be safe.
Yeah.
First and foremost, so hand sanitizer.
All right.
Be careful of any rough edges, especially if you're collecting glass or ceramics.
Sure.
And go with your gut instinct. If you think something is a good buy, go with it.
Okay.
Go with it. That's what I say. And just start where you are. Don't be afraid. Garbage dumps, curbs. Start where you are.
So antiquing, it doesn't necessarily have to be in antique shops.
No.
Just any place you can find
trash. I mean, we want you to come to our shops. Well, one man's trash is another woman's treasure, Errol, you know. But just start out. I mean, if you don't have a lot starting out, see what you might be able to find. Dumpster diving's okay in some states.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for your words of advice. And thank you again for being on the show.
My pleasure.
Thanks, folks, for listening. We'll be right back. That's all for today, Hooper Scoopers. Remember, you can listen to this and every one of our episodes on lccconnect.org, plus all your major streaming platforms. Thank you so much for tuning in. We hope you had as much fun as we did. And until next time, if you seek a pleasant peninsula, look about you.
Keep connected with LCC Connect at lccconnect.org.
LCC Connect.
Voices.
Vibes.
Vision.
Overseen by experienced LCC faculty, the Lansing Community College Massage Therapy Clinic provides an opportunity for LCC students to hone their skills. The 18-table massage facility is open to the public and provides each client with their own isolated area. Visit lcc.edu/massage for more information.
This has been a presentation of LCC Connect, a weekly program that features the voices, vibes, and vision of Lansing Community College. All shows featured on LCC Connect are recorded at the WLNZ studio, located on LCC's downtown campus. Each program is podcast-based and can be heard anytime at lccconnect.org. If you or someone you know would like to be a guest on one of our shows, connect with us by emailing lcc-connect@lcc.edu.